So when I hand over, start fucking.
Hello.
Wait. How does that go? At least you got the fuck up out of the way early. Oh fuck! I set on the dog's bowl.
Wow, let me try that one again.
Right there, right out of the gate. Okay.
Jesus. Let me have a sip of water here. Jesus, I really am out of practice.
Wow.
From the burning mesas of the Arizona desert to the slot machine clad boardwalks of New Jersey, it's Imaginarium with Scott and Todd. I'm Scott Colbert.
And I'm the horror nerd, Todd Staruch.
We are back, we are back, we are gone, but now we're back. If you don't like it, lick or crack. Busy at things to do. If you don't like it, then fuck you, but we are back, we are back, we are back.
Oh, God, I could have gone my whole life without hearing that little tune.
It sounded a lot better in my head, quite honestly.
But we had a brief hiatus due to life getting in the way.
You had work things, and then you had to go down to Virginia.
Yep, I was looking after my daughter. My ex-wife was in visiting family in Puerto Rico for a week, and then we had my daughter's musical, which was pretty freaking awesome, I must say.
It looked it from the pictures that you posted.
Yeah, man. I realize I'm biased because it's my kid and she had the lead role, but all of the kids worked really hard. Like the cast and crew, you can tell how hard they worked. The sets that they built and the choreography and everything, they all really did a good job. Dude, I forgot like how infectious that song is at the finale, Footloose, you know?
Yeah.
And it's in my head now forever.
Talk about an earworm.
Right? But it was good. And then on the final night during the Footloose finale, like the audience got up and was dancing and everything. So it was a lot of fun. My daughter was really happy. And in this life, that's all I ever really care about.
Oh, yeah. That's all that's important.
Yep. So now it's back to college applications and back to real life. But now she has decided, and we'll see how this goes, that not only does she still, you know, she definitely wants to go to med school. Like she has never wavered in that. But now she thinks she wants to get a minor in theater so she can continue, you know, performing. I'm like,
sure, there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing at all. But I just, you know, I just said, you know, be careful of the workload. That's all. You don't want to burn yourself out. But she really got a taste for it. And in this show, it was the first time she really sang like any solos, like big songs, you know. And I really wish I could post the clips that I took because, I secretly recorded a bunch of clips on my phone, but because of copyright and everything, you're not supposed to post them. But I really wish I could.
Yeah, I know that those copyright things are bastards.
And you know something? So I did record at the behest of the drama department. I did record both the final dress rehearsal. And I did record all of the shows so I could at least give the drama teacher a copy of it. But it just makes me sad. Like, I understand that rights to music cost money. And even when a high school, like a lot, I learned this the first year, they have to buy the rights. There's this licensing company, I forget what it's called, that licenses shows for high school musicals to get, you get the rights to do the show. And they give you copies of the librettos and everything. And it's not cheap.
No.
And it's, you know, they make it very clear that you cannot record. You know, you can take stills, but you cannot record. And I'm like, you really? I'm like, they can't let you have like one master recording so that like people could watch it? What if there's like grandparents that live far away or something, you know, that want to see their grandson or granddaughter in a show, you know?
Yeah, I think maybe because I have seen high school productions post entire shows on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, so I can imagine that they wouldn't press it if it was something like that. I think they only care is if you charge.
Well, that's, you know, the like, thing, right? Yeah, is yeah, they just don't want you selling DVDs or putting it behind a paywall or something like that.
And that I understand.
And I also understand like making an announcement, because having someone like me in the back with a professional camera out of the way is one thing. If you let people record, you're going to have 300 dipshits holding up their phone for the entire show so that nobody can see, you know? Yeah. So from that aspect, I completely understand, you know? But
I mean, it's bad enough that happens at concerts.
Exactly. Yeah. But in any case, dude, it was a lot of fun. I've still got Footloose stuck in my head.
And you will for the rest of your life
forever.
Now.
Yeah, forever. Yeah. Forever. But at least it's fun, a fun song. It's a fun musical. You know?
You will forever have Kenny Loggins.
Kenny Loggins is the man. Between this and the fact that I watched Top Gun Maverick like six times, you know, and Danger Zone is also in my head, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway. I forgot he did that song.
Yeah. What have you been up to? We haven't really chatted too much.
Been almost a fucking month.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as everybody knows, and you know, I was supposed to move at the beginning of the month, but the agency that helps me with my house, and because I do have subsidized housing, lost my paperwork. The paperwork that I filled out in January 5th, to be precise. So I'm going along with this new apartment that I'm moving into, and they're wondering what's going on, and I'm wondering what's going on. And finally they said, well, we lost your paperwork. You know, can you come in and redo it? You know, and this is like third or fourth of March, and I should have been moved already by then. So I said, well, yeah, I can. It's a pain in the ass for me to get down there, but I can do it. So I was going to go down that Monday, and at 4:30 Friday afternoon, the caseworker called and said, oh, I found your paperwork. We can get the inspection done and get everything taken care of. I'm like, well, goody for me. Wow. You know? So I was supposed to have had it inspected last week. You know, and so I emailed her Monday to find out where the inspection was going to be. Didn't get an email back. Called Tuesday to find out. Didn't return my call. Finally, I had to email her supervisor to find out what was going on. And as always happens, when you contact a supervisor, the person that you really want to speak with ends up calling you like 3 seconds later.
Right.
Which she did. And she said, well, the inspection was completed yesterday and it passed, so you can move in anytime that you want to. And I'm like, great. In the meantime, I've had to, you know, shuffle around my movers, which I hate to do because, you know, they're a family business, you know, and they rely on people being able to move when they say they're going to move.
Right, right.
You know, although I'm sure they're used to having it delayed because, you know, shit happens. But I didn't want to do that to them. You know, it's not fair to give them a date, then have to move it, give it a date, and have to move it again. I didn't want to do that to them. I said, let me get this settled. As soon as I get the keys in my hand, I will call and we'll get this taken care of. So the next day I went down, filled out the lease, got the keys, and called them, said, I have the keys in my hand. You know, let's do it. Well, we can't do it until the 16th. This was last week when I called them, last Wednesday. So I'm like, fine, whatever. Yeah. Just come on the 16th, take my shit. And let me get the fuck out of here, please.
Wow.
So tomorrow I make the move.
There you go.
You know, and wow. I'm sure I probably, they're coming between 9 and 10:30 in the morning, or 9:30 and 10:30 tomorrow morning. So and it's only going to take maybe two and a half hours at most to move my stuff out and then in. So I'm sure I probably could have recorded yesterday, but you know what moving is like.
Oh,
and yeah, and getting everything set up.
Is it far, the new place, from where you live now?
No, it's not. It's maybe 4 miles away, five miles away. It's not far at all, but it is in the prostitution section of Phoenix.
Nice.
On 27th Avenue, it's Prostitute Row. So it's going to be interesting.
Well, we know what your new job is going to be.
Yeah. But it's in an old neighborhood, you know, and there's a Mexican restaurant down the street from me. There's a little Asian market next door with a coin-operated laundry right next door to that. It's a cute. I mean, it's a rundown old neighborhood, and I'm not going to be walking around there at night. But it's, I don't know, I like it a little bit better than where I'm at now, even though where I'm at now is more convenient to public transportation. There's just something more homey about the place that I'm going into. And I posted a walkthrough of it on my YouTube channel for those who are interested. So I've been doing some last minute packing. Well, I left the packing to the last minute because I wasn't sure, you know, what was going on. You know, and it's not like I have that much to pack, but it just looks, my apartment now just looks like a disaster area.
Oh, well, absolutely. So, absolutely. Mr. I could just see it. Mr. Colbert, the good news is your new apartment passed inspection. It's ready to move in. The bad news, there is a crackhead living in the kitchen, but just leave her alone. She won't bother you. Just, you know, give her a sandwich once in a while. It'll all be fine.
Well, and the good news is Wi-Fi is actually included in my rent.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I can ditch my internet with Cox cable now. That's one less bill I've got to pay a month. So yeah, I'm happy about that. Yeah. So I just wanted to get over with, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, now I get that.
So
I totally get it.
So there's a lot that's gone on. While we were away, I could sing that song again.
No, that's okay.
We are back. All right. But, you know, I think I would just rather go and talk about what we had planned on talking about. The Oscars, our impressions of the Oscars and the winners. And we want to talk about The Whale, since you finally saw that. And we can talk about Cocaine Bear, since I saw that last night.
Well, we could start there, because how much fun is that movie?
That is a load of fun.
Right?
The first 5 minutes, I thought, you know, this is going to be really good. I just know it. And then it had a little bit of a lull.
Yeah.
But then when it started kicking in, everybody got into the forest. It was just nonstop mayhem. And it was so much fun. It really was a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely. And I think every character was just perfect. The park ranger was a hoot.
Oh, Jesus, wasn't she?
Yes, she was a hoot. And her, I don't want to give anything away, but her demise was hilarious.
It was. It really
and I knew
was.
It was coming. I nudged my brother and I said, watch, I know what's going to happen. I yep. know exactly what's going to happen.
As soon as she got taken away, I knew.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, it was great.
And yeah. that's the thing about this movie. You kind of know what's going to happen right before it does. But it's okay because, you know, this isn't one of those movies where you have to guess about what's going on. You just, it's a cheesy B movie. And it's good cheesy B. It's not cheesy in a bad way, but fun. It's right. cheesy in a good way and fun. And congratulations to Elizabeth Banks for taking a chance on doing this movie. I know I kind of sound like her today, the way she was at the Oscars.
Well, I did not this year because I was with my daughter. I did not watch yeah. a single minute of the Oscars, and I only watched a couple of clips. So I didn't see her, but I know that they had the digital, like the CGI cocaine bear, or was it someone in a costume? I don't know.
No, it was a guy in a bear suit.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay. Yeah. So I know that cocaine bear yeah. was there. But
it's worth looking at that clip. It's only a couple minutes, but it was a lot of fun. She was really funny, and the audience was really getting into it too. So,
look, man, it just goes to show that you can do a movie like that, but do it well, like spend some real money on it.
Yeah,
and people just have a fun time at the movies, you know? Like you said, it's a B movie, but it's a good B movie, you know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't take itself too seriously, you know?
No, it doesn't. You know, and it's one of Ray Liotta's last performances. I think yeah. there's another couple movies that he's in that haven't come out yet. But I know this is certainly one of the last ones that he was in. And he was a lot of fun in this. He was really he plays a really good bad guy. I mean, he really does. He's a good heavy.
Oh, that's for sure. That's
and
sure.
he got what he deserved in this too.
He did. When the two little kids find the cocaine, I'm like, oh God, don't even tell me.
See, and that's what I liked about this movie. They weren't afraid to go there.
No, they just went for it. They're like, yep, we're going to have two, like, 10-year-olds try cocaine.
Yep. How much should we take? I don't know, a tablespoon?
Damn. Right. Yeah, like, oh, my God. Yeah. But, yeah, it was really good. And, you know, it's funny. There's always some jackass on social media has to nitpick, you know? And I'm like, you understand, right? That you're pointing out plot holes in a movie called Cocaine Bear. Do you understand this? Right? You know, I mean, so very quick spoiler, like the people were complaining about, well, why did the bear drag the little girl away and not just kill her right away? That is like, seems to be the big thing. Like people are questioning. And I'm like, who fucking cares? I mean, could be, you know, because he did.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because that's what was needed in the movie. You know, it was a plot point. That's what had to happen. You know, it's not a documentary, you stupid fuck.
Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, no, it was good. I really liked it.
I did too. I will watch that numerous times, I think, because that's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was hoping I'd find time with my daughter to watch it, but there was just too much going on. The only thing she and I watched together was Megan because she hadn't seen it. And we watched the quote unquote unrated version. And I'm still trying to figure out what was unrated about, like what was changed. Cause
yeah,
I couldn't figure it out.
About that.
There was one, I think they showed a little more of like the ear pull scene with the bully. Like they actually show his ear being ripped off from his head. But that's the only thing that I could spot. And then my thing was, you see, this just, I mean, I've always been a big believer that just because something is rated R or unrated doesn't mean it's better.
Well,
you know,
exactly.
There are plenty of R-rated movies that are shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but yeah, we, so we watched that, and I forced her to watch Haunted. My movie that I co-produced, but and she liked it, but she has to say that.
Oh yeah, she's not going to say it.
Oh no, no, no,
no, no, no. She probably
trust,
was.
Yeah, trust me. Was. Yeah.
I forget who I was talking about.
Right, she would tell. Yeah, she absolutely would tell me. But
yeah,
so but all right.
And so you saw The Well yesterday.
I just watched it today, because you know I was feeling crappy. I wrapped up work early, and I said, you know what? I read a lot of the social media comments about the movie and about Brendan Fraser. I want to watch it finally, and I did. I liked it. I mean, I really liked it, and I never realized, obviously, because I hadn't seen it, the significance of the title. You know.
Yeah.
And I thought the title was about him, and I thought, man, it's a little rude, isn't it?
Well, but in a way, it is about him.
Yeah, but it's not, they're not calling, I don't know how to put it, but they're not calling a fat person a whale necessarily. You know what right. I mean? You have to know what happens in the movie and why, like, and what he's chasing in his life, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I don't know, man. I don't.
There are a lot of layers to that title.
For sure.
It's a Darren Aronofsky movie, so of course it's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But listen, I know your pick for best actor was Austin Butler in Elvis, which I did not see. Hold on, let me find it. Oscars.org. Oh, hang on. I should have thought of this. View complete list. Okay. No. Okay. I was trying to remember who else was nominated. So Austin Butler and Elvis, Colin Farrell, Banshees of Inisherin, which I saw, Paul Mescal in After Sun, and Bill Nighy in Living. I did not see those. But so I did not see Elvis. I did see Banshees, which I thought was excellent, and Colin Farrell was excellent. But I wasn't shocked that Brendan Fraser won, you know. I wouldn't say that someone else got robbed.
No.
You know?
Either. I was on the last show that we actually recorded where I talked about it. And I was mentioning how surprised I was exactly how good Brendan Fraser was.
Yeah, it was very nuanced and very emotional, you know. So I don't know about your news feed, like on Facebook or anything, but I saw a lot of people bitching about it, like about the fact that they took Brendan Fraser and put him in a fat suit, and here we go again, you know, people not being represented. And my first thought was, well, how many 600-pound gay guys are members of SAG? Like, who the fuck are you going to cast in the movie? You know, you can't.
That, but they weren't even mentioning the fact the character is gay. It's just they didn't hire a fat guy. Not a fat gay guy, just a fat guy.
I saw like one or two people bring up the gay, you know, the gay versus straight thing, you know.
It was a no-brainer to have somebody in a fat suit, because if they actually had somebody who was 600 pounds, do you cater and build a baby on that movie?
Oh my god. Wow. Send your hate mail to Scott Colbert at his new address. But you know, I just don't understand, like, it. I'm not often at a loss for words, but I got nothing other than, where does it stop, you know? And I'm sure, like, you could find a big man, but can he act, You know what I mean? Yeah. You can't just pull someone off the street and say, hey, you're a rather huge person. Do you want to be in a movie about a guy who ruins his life and turns to food as a coping mechanism? You know, like, what do you, I don't know, man. It's like Daniel Day-Lewis won for, you know, My Left Foot. I mean, people now are retroactively complaining about that, you know? You had a guy portraying someone with cerebral palsy. I'm like, not to be a dick, but how many, like, how could you have put someone who actually had cerebral palsy and have them pull it off? I don't know.
Well, exactly.
That's acting, folks.
Yeah. The other complaint that I saw, now this was mainly on Twitter. The other complaint of the whale and the makeup was the fact that the whale won for best hair and makeup and other students. There is a very hard core of Elvis fans who think that there's some grand conspiracy by the Academy to exclude Elvis from awards because they hate Elvis, the person, you know, not just the movie, or they have something Bazlerman, or they think Austin hasn't paid his dues to win an award. Take your conspiracy theory. And somebody wrote about it on Twitter regarding why Elvis should have won Best Makeup. And granted, you know, the makeup in Elvis was fantastic. The problem is the fat suit was brilliant.
I agree. I mean, I could kind of understand, like, All Quiet on the Western Front. Because similar to like Saving Private Ryan, there's like a lot of wartime, like,
yeah,
you know, stuff like injuries and dirty faces and, you know, and stuff like that. So that I would have been like, well, okay, I get it. You know, listen, man, the funny thing about the Oscars is there's always going to be, you know, someone who will whine that someone got robbed, someone got snubbed, you know, people are saying that, you know, here we go again, Jamie Lee Curtis, a white woman, won instead of Angela Bassett. And I'm like, hang on a second. Scott, I don't know if you saw Wakanda Forever, but...
No, I didn't.
Angela Bassett is very good in it, don't get me wrong. But it's a mediocre superhero movie at best. You cannot compare it to Everything Everywhere All at Once and the performances. You just can't. I'm sorry. People can hate me all day long. So now I had picked Kerry Condon from Banshees of Inisherin, but I was not shocked at all when Jamie Lee Curtis won. Yeah, I didn't throw my hands in the air and go, oh, that's bullshit, you know?
And let me point out that I may be the only person in the world who had picked her to win that award.
You might be.
Jamie Lee Curtis was expecting that.
I don't either. So speaking of picks, we probably should just mention your very humiliating defeat when it comes to the picks, because
it's not like you did much better.
I out of the ones, now we didn't, we didn't do picks for documentaries or short films. So out of the things we did pick, I had 13 correct. You had 8 correct.
Yeah.
So let's see where
we were. But my pick for Jamie Curtis should count for at least 5 because nobody else would have picked her except me.
I see where we're going. Okay, I get it now.
All right. So,
but
double points for that.
And I was so here's what's funny for costume design, right? Black Panther: Wakanda Forever won, and the only reason I didn't pick it was because the first Black Panther won for costume design. And I'm like, well, what are we going to do? Award like the same thing, you know, again, because it's really the same, you know, but there we go. But now for that, I did pick Elvis, because even though I didn't see the movie, I did see the trailer and a bunch of clips and stuff. And I was like, holy shit. You know, like all the costumes were so period correct and everything.
And if I remember, I picked Babylon because I actually saw, because I saw Babylon a couple of weeks ago. And it's just a so-so movie, but the production values on it were through the roof. It was just beautifully made, and the sets and the costumes and everything were first rate, just absolutely fantastic. That's why I picked it.
That was one of those movies that I had no real desire to see it, other than Margot Robbie and my absolute obsession over her. You know, if they were making a movie where she was going to read random lines from a dictionary, I would watch it. Like, I'd be there on opening night.
Oh, I'm sure you would.
But so let's see what else here. So actor in a leading role. Okay, so I had picked Brendan Fraser. You picked Austin Butler. Actor in a supporting role. I had picked Ke-Hee Kwan from Everything Everywhere All at Once. And you had Barry Keoghan from Banshees of Inisherin. A very legit pick, by the way. I thought he was fantastic in that
movie. And I still stand by that. I still think he should have won that. Not take anything away from Key, but I just think that was a better performance.
You know, and it makes me wonder, like, how much of the vote, like, what goes through the voters' heads, right? Because Ke-Hee Kwan is a feel-good story. You know what I mean? Like, this kid, he was a kid actor, 40 years goes by, he's not in anything. Then he's cast in this movie that blows up. And I thought the clip of him hugging Harrison Ford was Hollywood magic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as corny as that sounds, you know, and his quote, you know, Goonies never say die. I'm like, that's fucking awesome right there. But yeah, no, that's legit. There's a chance that it was like a Hollywood, like a feel good vote.
I think it was a nostalgia vote more than anything. Yeah. I mean, Barry Keoghan's backstory is just as compelling. You know, growing up in foster homes and, you know, nobody thinking he's going to make anything of himself. And here he is. He becomes, an Oscar nominee.
I didn't really know that. I didn't really know much about him. Just know that he's a creepy fucker. And he was, you saw Killing of a Sacred Deer, right?
Yeah.
Oh, he's really good in that too. And just creepy as fuck.
I mean, he's a brilliant actor. And, you know, the fact that he made it, given his, his growing up and how he went through, I think, 13 different foster families.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to read up on that because I really don't know anything about him.
It's really impressive, you know, that he's made it. His backstory is, you know, is as compelling. But, you know, it's not rooted in, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
Oh, Jesus. And I just said it.
Nostalgia.
Nostalgia. Yeah.
There you go.
And, you know, look, there's nothing wrong with nostalgia. You know, we all tend to dwell on it from time to time. But I think people really need to stop living their lives and basing everything that they do on nostalgia. It's getting really fucking tiresome.
I get that. I get what you're saying. I mean, like we were just talking about at the top of the show, my daughter was in Footloose and boom, I was in high school again, just like that.
Yeah.
You know? All right. Let's see. Actress in a leading role. We both had Michelle Yeoh in Everything Everywhere All at Once. And I decided I'm going to walk around now with a googly eye on my forehead just to see if anyone get the reference.
No, they won't, because they'll forget about it. All right. They haven't already.
True. Actress in a supporting role. I had Carrie Condon from Banshees of Inisherin, and you, as you keep reminding us, picked Jamie Lee Curtis from Everything Everywhere All at Once. And so our buddy Tom Ryan and I were talking about that and how a lot of our horror film friends were like, oh, finally, Jamie Lee Curtis wins an Oscar. And I'm like, well, what exactly was she supposed to win an Oscar for previously? They're like, well, she was in True Lies. And I'm like, right. And what is she most remembered for from True Lies? The striptease that she does.
Yeah.
Right. And Halloween, I mean, come on. Like, really? I mean,
if anything, she would have been nominated for Trading Places.
Either that or A Fish Called Wanda.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
But anyway, good for her. Like I said, I was not shocked or dismayed in any way that she won. I was like, good for her.
Angela Bassett was. Did you see her face?
Yeah, she was pissed. And I'm like, yeah, that's classy right there.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That's the face of somebody who thinks she has it in the bag.
Right, right.
And if for no other reason, I'm glad that she lost just because of that. And I hate smugness like that.
Agreed.
And I hate that I deserve it type attitude. And, you know, y'all can, you know, bitch at me for saying that. And I really don't care. That's just how I feel. There was a certain smugness, you know, and a taking for granted that she was just going to win that. And when she didn't, yeah, that expression said it all. And it made me glad that she didn't win.
Yep, I'm with you, man. Animated feature film. We both had Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. And folks, if you haven't seen that film, just pause the show. Go watch it right now. Because it's a miracle of filmmaking, if you ask me.
It is. And the fact that it's stop motion makes it even that much more of a miracle.
There were certain performances where certain screenings out in California where they had a bunch of the puppets.
Oh, wow.
Where you could see them. And I'm like, oh, my God, I wish I had had a chance to see that. That would have been cool.
Oh, that definitely would have been cool.
Right. Cinematography. We both had All Quiet on the Western Front. Cinematographer James Friend. Now, did you see that yet?
No, I haven't.
You just kind of, okay. Well, if and when you do, you'll figure out why you were right in picking it. You know, there are times where I just sat there like, how the hell did he do that? How did he get that shot? Like, I don't even know, dude. If I could just make one scene from one movie like that.
Right.
I would pat myself on the back, you know? All right, moving on so we don't use up all the time. Costume design, I had picked Elvis. You had picked Babylon. The winner was Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Directing, you had picked Banshees of Inisherin. Another directed by Martin McDonagh. Another very legit pick. I had Everything Everywhere All at Once. Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert. And as much as I love that movie, I also think that was one of those movies that just started just rolling down the hill. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Picking up speed, picking up awards. And I think it was kind of a bound to win, you know? But again, if Banshees had won, I would have been like, cool.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Film editing, we both had Everything Everywhere All at Once, and I haven't seen anyone like bitch about that winning because the editing was just stupid.
Yeah, it's about the only thing that nobody has bitched at.
Right. It was just amazing. International feature film, we both had All Quiet on the Western Front from Germany. Makeup and hairstyling, we both picked The Whale. Music, original score. I was like, I don't fucking know. I didn't see all of these, but I had picked Everything Everywhere All at Once. You had picked Banshees of Inisherin. All Quiet on the Western Front. One. music, original song. I didn't really know any of these except for Top Gun. So yeah. I picked Lift Me Up because Disney movies tend to win in this category. And that's the only reason I picked it. You had picked Hold My Hand from Top Gun Maverick. The winner was Not Two from RRR, which I really want to see that movie.
I do too. That
I have heard nothing but good things about it.
I'm surprised it wasn't nominated for Best Foreign Movie.
Or was it? Hold on. I got the nominees right here. Ding, 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 ding. Where are you? International feature film. No, it wasn't. Huh. Okay, then. Where were we? Best Picture. You had picked Banshees of Inisherin. I had picked Everything Everywhere All at Once. Again, a very legit pick on your part, Scott. If it had won. Oh, no, wait. I went way backwards. God, I'm an idiot. We're up to.
Did you do Best Actress?
Yeah, I did okay. That was like all the way at the beginning. I'm so lost. I did original. Oh, but no, I was right. Best Picture was Everything Everywhere All at Once, which I had picked. You had picked Banshees, which if it had won, I would have been like, okay, yeah, but well deserved. Production design, I had picked Elvis. You had picked Babylon, and it went to All Quiet on the Western Front. Sound, I had picked All Quiet on the Western Front. You had picked The Batman, and Top Gun Maverick won, which I get. I mean, it is pretty good use of sound. Visual effects, we both picked Avatar, The Way of Water. Shocking that won. Right. I mean, if there's anything James Cameron good at, is it's world building.
Yeah, I didn't even have to see it to know right? that it was going to win.
Right. No, yeah, totally.
Now, that was a gimme.
Yeah. Writing, adapted screenplay. I picked Women Talking by Sarah Polley. You picked All Quiet on the Western Front, and it went to Women Talking. I have no idea why I picked it. I did not see the movie.
Yeah, I was surprised at that. I thought maybe he knows something I don't.
I just figured it was one of those. Now, I'm not disparaging this movie in any way. I have not seen it. For all I know, it's brilliant. It just seems that it's one of those movies, you know, that tend to win awards like that.
Yeah, no, I get it.
You know? So, and then finally, writing original screenplay. I picked Everything Everywhere All at Once, and you picked Banshee of Inisherin, and it was Everything Everywhere All at Once. So, all in all, man, it was pretty diverse. Like I said, I didn't watch any of the Oscars, but I did hear the usual suspects on social media talking about the Oscars when most of the time they claim that they don't care about the Oscars.
Yeah. So,
I always find that amusing.
And these are the same people that if they were nominated for an Oscar, they were too busy. They would be too busy ejaculating all over themselves to go and pick it up.
Oh, please, dude. Some of these indie filmmakers that I know would sell their mothers to even be considered for nomination of an Academy Award. You know,
I mean, they go batshit over these, you know, bullshit awards from these film festivals that only last for 6 months, you know?
Thank you, dude. Thank you. People post, oh man, I won Best Picture in the Eastern Kentucky Horror Short Film Festival. I'm like, okay, yay for you, you know? So, yeah, you're right. And people complain about the Oscars, dude, and whatever. Again, it's the easiest problem in the world to solve. Just don't watch.
Well,
people spend so much time talking about things that they claim to not care about. You know?
Yeah.
I think part of it, let me know if you agree. Back when you and I, you know, were younger, right when they invented TV, the Oscars were a bigger deal because there was no internet, there was no social media. We didn't really know everything every minute about these movie stars. So when we would watch the Oscars, we would be like, oh man, look, it's Jimmy Stewart. Like, oh, look, George Burns, you know, because you never really saw these people. And they'd go out on stage, they'd do a dance number or something, and it was just, it was all about Hollywood, you know?
Yeah.
Now, you see a picture, you know, you see pictures, let's say, of Angela Bassett every day, you know? So, it's not that big, it's just not that big a deal anymore, you know?
No, it's not. No, you're absolutely right. And I know we've talked about that before.
I think we have, now that I said it.
I remember that. But you're absolutely right. It's nothing to see, you know, pictures or read stories about any of the stars today. You know, I mean, when they've all got social media feeds, whether it's them actually doing it or not, they're out there. They're on Twitter, Instagram, you know, TikTok, Facebook, you know, whatever. They are all out there. They are all making their presence known. You know, there was none of that, you know, back when we were growing up. It just didn't, you know, obviously it just didn't exist. You know, we would have, you know, people, we didn't even have TMZ or
right.
E-Entertainment or anything like that. You know, the closest we got would be Rona Barrett for 5 minutes on Good Morning America. You know, maybe, you know, if she was on that day.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was about it. You know, other than maybe People Magazine or...
Or Entertainment Tonight. Remember, what was her name? Mary...
Yeah, but, yeah, back in the... You know, that didn't come until the year... Early to mid-80s, I think.
Let's see. Yeah, who... starting in 1981.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that early.
Yeah, what the hell was her name?
I know Mary Hart.
No. Fuck. No, because I remember the big thing about her was she had her legs insured, you know. Former on-air staff. Hold on. Oh, yeah, no, you're right, Mary Hart. You were right, yeah. 100%.
100%. And John What's-His-Face was the co-host.
Now this is going to bother me until... John Tesh.
John Tesh, yeah.
John Tesh, that's right.
Yeah, because he was also like a new age musician.
Musician,
too.
Yeah.
But even before that... You know, it's really actually what I was thinking when I say, you know, growing up, I'm thinking in the 70s because that's when I was growing up. You know, all we did have was like Rona Barrett or maybe one of the other entertainment people on the news, maybe Gene Shalit or Joel Rex, Siegel or something.
Yeah, Joel
like
Siegel.
That.
Yeah.
Rex Reed.
No, you're right. You're right. So the other thing I want to say real quick about like all the people whining about the Oscars, oh, they're meaningless. They're irrelevant. Why do you care? Like, yes, it's self-congratulatory, but like you just pointed out, we indie people do the same thing.
Yep.
You know, in 2 weeks is going to be the Garden State Film Festival, which is a premier festival in New Jersey. And Tom Ryan directed a movie called Ramsey that's screening. He also directed Haunted, which I co-produced, which is screening. And we are very proud to be screening in that festival. And if we win an award, we will, of course, be very proud of that. We worked very hard. So what right do I have to then turn around and say, oh, the Oscars are stupid. They're irrelevant. You know, it's important to them. So let Jamie Lee Curtis have her moment. Let Brendan Fraser have his moment. Why do you care? You know?
Yeah. It doesn't make, you know, the actors or the movies that you wanted to win any less important to you or any less relevant.
Right.
You know, they still are one of a handful of movies that were nominated. You know, I don't get it. And the thing is, these awards aren't for us. You know, they broadcast them, But the fact is, these are industry awards.
Right.
You know, voted on by industry people. This isn't the People's Choice Awards or the Golden Globes or whatever. You know, what do you expect? You know, and I always thought, well, the Academy has it out for this or that. It's their peers. You know, what the fuck are you talking about? You know?
Yeah, man. It's just such a silly thing to get worked up about, you know? And every industry has awards, right? Like if you're into cars, Car and Driver issues their top picks for every year of all the cars that came out that year. And every industry has them. I mean, fuck, here in New Jersey, the Chocolate Expo was last weekend and they give out awards, you know, for candy, for Christ's sake.
Porn movies have awards.
Right? Oh my God, you're going to make me laugh, choke. But yeah, but I look, people want to seem clever and edgy and, the Oscars suck. Okay, well, I think golf is stupid. So you know what? I don't watch it. I mean, it's really easy. You know? I don't know, man, but it was fun. I want to go back and watch some more clips, you know? I do miss, even though they ran long, I do miss the days, like in my house when we would watch the Oscars and my grandmother would get into it because, like I've mentioned many times, my grandmother was a seamstress back in the day for movie stars. And she would comment on the gowns and the tuxedos and stuff, you know, and it was a big family night for us, the Oscars, you know. And so for me, the Oscars bring back some of those memories. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
And people still have viewing parties today, and good for them. It is an excuse to get together and drink some champagne and have some food and, you know, and have some fun.
Yeah, they're good times.
But dude, you're right. If a movie that I was involved in ever even sniffed an Academy Award, I would be insufferable.
Right?
Completely insufferable, I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, and it's funny, you know, because indie movie, horror movie people are like that. You know, and authors are horror authors are like that too. You know, the Stoker Awards, it's the same thing. You know, somebody gets nominated over somebody else, or you know, well, they just don't like that person, or oh, look, Stephen King again. He hasn't been anything good in years, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it's just the same bullshit. Or the Stokers are worth, and I have been hearing this for at least 15 years, you know? So it's just ridiculous. Because these same people, and I've seen this, I've actually seen this happen. There was a message board called Shock Lines years and years and years ago. And a lot of the authors that I'm friends with, I became friends with on that board. And there were some who I wasn't friends with who talked about, you know, how the Stokers were meaningless until they were nominated. And then it was like the most important thing in the world.
Right.
You know, so go fuck yourselves, all of yous.
Yeah.
Y'all are hypocrites.
Yeah, man. And again, for things that are important to someone else, but not to me, I just let it go. I have so many other worries in life. You know what I mean? To get stressed out over an award show. Really? Like you're that angry over that? Like, okay, fair. Yeah, you do you. What can I tell you?
Yeah. You know, the worst fear I have, or thought I have about the Oscars, is if I were ever to be nominated for one and I lost, I would not hide my disappointment on camera very well. I wouldn't be Angela Bassett, but well, I'm a bad poker player. So, you know, I would be a very bad loser as well. Yeah. I would probably be crying like a little bitch. Is what, you know.
God, Colbert is strangling the person next to him. Oh my God. Oh my God. Call security. Call security.
No.
Just see you jump out of your seat. This is bullshit. This is fixed. Who did you have to blow on the Academy to get an award?
Yeah, although the chances of my writing an Academy Award nominated screenplay, you know,
well,
you never know. Unless
the one thing that I laughed about is, now I had, until I saw the pictures and stuff, I did not know who this person was, but there's some singer named Thames who was wearing this giant white dress giant white veil. And I loved how Devin Sawa live tweeted, he with an arrow, like pointing, like, I'm sitting behind this. So imagine getting a ticket to the Oscars, but not being able to see anything.
Yeah. That was just so rude to, don't get me started on that one. I saw that and I thought it was just fucking stupid. That somebody would wear that and actually think it would be appropriate to wear sitting down and, you know, fuck anybody behind her.
I mean, so when I'm looking at a picture of her on the red, the dress itself is absolutely beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the dress is stunning, but it should have had a veil, like that thing should have been able to come off.
Oh, you know, definitely.
You know, and I love it. I don't know who Jarrett Bellini is, but he tweeted, imagine waiting your whole life to be at the Oscars and you end up sitting behind a Stratus cloud.
He's not wrong.
No, but, and of course, like, people are clapping back saying, oh, sure, the minute a black woman decides to stand out at the Oscars, she gets attacked for it. And I'm like, no, dipshit, that's not why she's being attacked. She's being
attacked. Attention whore is an attention whore, right. No matter who.
Thank you. She's being criticized for being inconsiderate, you know? Because, yeah, I'm looking at another picture right now. There's at least three people behind her who could not see past it. And there's some guy sitting next to her who's got his head cocked at like an almost 45 degree angle. Because he can't see. So I just thought that was funny. And I had never heard of her. I don't know who Thames is.
I've never heard of her either.
She's a Nigerian singer-songwriter who co-wrote Lift Me Up from Black Panther, Wakanda Forever.
Ah, okay.
Okay. I mean, cool, but still. Anyway.
Real quick, I want to mention when... Everything Everywhere All at Once won Best Picture, and the entire ensemble went up there. James Hahn was up there as well, 93 years old.
Yeah.
He was three when the first Oscars were handed out.
Wow.
Let that sink in. And that was the 95th Oscars.
Wow. Jesus.
Just imagine the feeling that he had of being able to get up on that stage.
Who could complain about that? You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, like,
that's so fucking cool.
It is. It really is. You know, people sometimes get so focused on the, I don't want to say the politics of it, but, you know, the awards themselves. You know, they forget that there's still real people behind them. You know, yes, Jamie Lee Curtis is an actress and her father is Tony Curtis and blah, blah, blah. She's still a person. She still has feelings, you know? You know, and Angela Bassett, too.
Sure.
She's got fucked up feelings, but they're her feelings, you know?
Well, someone tweeted, hey, Angela, you're an actress. Fake it. You know,
like your orgasm,
right? Fake like you're happy for someone else.
Yeah, pretend you're a Republican.
Huh?
Fake that you're happy for someone else.
All right, so we're almost out of time. As we wrap up, I just thought I'd share this with everybody. While I was ignoring what Scott was just saying, I was scrolling through my newsfeed on Facebook and someone shared a tweet. Hooters waitress taken into custody for allegedly dipping hot wings in her vagina on and off her period to rude customers. Just thought I'd share that with you. You're welcome.
That's, you know, on the one hand, that's really disgusting. But on the other hand, that's
and
funny, too.
Just like that, that's enough internet for today.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yay. So, my friend, what are you working on?
Moving my ass. Anything? That's it. That's all I've been focused on. I can't focus on anything else. You know, when your life is in disarray, it's very difficult to, at least it is for me, to concentrate on trying to do something creative.
Oh, yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah. So I haven't. But that doesn't mean that you can't pick up any of my books, because you can certainly do that. They're available on Amazon, and you can get the digital copies wherever ebooks are sold, and you can get the audiobooks at audible.com. And they sound a lot better than what I do right now.
Oh, who are you telling? I just had to mute myself while I coughed up a human head.
Yeah. See, it's been 3 weeks or so since we recorded, and my voice has just gone to shit. Because I just don't talk a whole lot when I'm not recording.
You don't talk to the cat. Drive crazy.
Well, every once in a while, you know. Wade's been busy, you know, with his new relationship and doing all this other stuff. I haven't talked to him for a little bit, other than text messages every few days. My sister and I don't talk much. So, you know, there's not many people that I talk to. So my voice doesn't get used.
I get it.
Kind of like other parts of my body.
Okay, then. So anyway.
What are you up to?
So, like I had mentioned, Haunted by Theater of Terror, and Ramsey, directed by Tom Ryan, and starring our good friend Jim Thalman, are both screening at the Garden State Film Festival at the Cranford Theater on March the 25th. So get your tickets for that. And then we have another screening of Return to the Theater of Terror at Kevin Smith's Smodcastle Cinemas down in Red Bank, New Jersey, or Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey, on Saturday, April 22nd at 1:30 p.m. So you can get your tickets at the Smodcastle Cinema website. So again, this is not just a marketing ploy. The theater seating is limited. So get your tickets in advance. They're like $10 or something like that. So, you know, go ahead, pick up a ticket, come down and hang out with us. We're going to do a cast and crew Q&A, meet and greet afterwards, and then we're all going to hang out in Red Bank and party after the screening. So come hang out with us.
Definitely. All right. And until next time, may all of your journeys be filled with pure imagination.